Hey, hello everybody. Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast Show. This is where we play and talk about the music you love. And I am excited today because I have Chrissy with me today. Chrissy, say hello to everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning. Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm excited because we always see each other in passing. We talk for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. But today we're going to just dive into this and we're going to let the world know exactly who you are.
Wow. You guys better stretch out. You better be better warm up.
Yeah, because you wear a lot of hats. I mean, and we're going to dig into that because I know that you're the drummer for the Pope Vixen Band, but tell us all the instruments that you play.
Well, you know, I dabble, Daniel. Let's see. I started playing the piano when I was 6 years old. I'm classically trained on the piano. However, I view my training as very, you know, individual, kind of isolated. It was very stressful for me because I had to adjudicate and compete. You know, so it wasn't, I loved my piano teacher and I really enjoyed music and playing the piano, but the stress behind the way that I, you know, went through training kind of left me not liking it. And it was like I hated my mom for making me practice. All I wanted to do was dance and act and sing, and you know, she made me do, she mean mom, like I could just, you know, lay down on the ground and if she was still alive just kiss her feet for, you know, forcing me. Sometimes kids just have to do what their parents say, and it's a good thing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I have her to thank for that. I have a history of music, and it helped me get into, like, it helped me get scholarship money for college. I was in the, they have a Miss America pageant program, and it pays, you know, talent is a big percentage of that. So I won a couple of local pageants in the Southern California area when I was younger. So I had that, and I got a talent scholarship to USC, which helped my poor parents because boy, was that private university tuition a lot of money. So that is my formal training from a young age. And then when I came back to music after I decided as an adult, I had been married, have 2 children, divorced, pretty much at the top of my game in a career in the residential construction industry. And after my dad passed away, I just felt like I was kind of hollow. Like my bucket wasn't filled with the way, like the choices that I had made in my life. So I just made a big change, came back to music. I got myself a drum teacher. So I learned the drums very late in life. You know, but some of the independence was easy to pick up on. Because, you know, the piano is a percussion instrument. It was just a much different approach. And I had no experience playing with other musicians, Daniel. So I really leaned on the women around me when I decided that I wanted to start an all-girl band. And I was not going to play the piano because I thought it wasn't cool enough. And I decided that I'm crazy and wanted to learn how to play the drums. So I learned how to play the drums and put a band together. And I also teach music for a living. So I also teach the ukulele. I teach voice. I teach piano. I teach drums. I am a bass enthusiast, but I would never call myself a bass player. Because when you have the most ridiculously talented bass player on the planet Earth in your band, you would just never say something like that. And so I am lucky enough to have Megan in my band. And so I know what a true feel bass player looks and sounds like. That is not me, but I love the bass. Yeah. I love music. You know, I love music. It brings me joy, and it brings joy to those around me. And I'm going to do it until I stop breathing.
You know what? Now, that's what my audience need to hear. Because, you know, I always say this, and you hear it on every podcast. I always say that the good Lord blessed us with this gift to express it to the world. It's just that, you know, our gifts are on loan. So we don't have to get jealous or hate on anybody. You know, He's given us a gift to express it to the world. And Chrissy, you hit it right on the head. But now, I know also that you had a radio show.
Yes, sir. I love
talking. How did that come about?
I love talking, Daniel. Is it obvious yet?
No, I can't tell. How did that come about?
Well, I have a gift for gab, and I had this really incredible woman, and I'm just so inspired. I agree with you. I'm inspired by talented people, especially women, because their stories resonate with my own. And I had this acquaintance that had this great radio show, and she was going to put it on hiatus because she was kind of burnt out. And I just begged her. I said, I believe in your brand. I think it's awesome. I think it's a voice that's needed. And if you can't do it right now, well, you need to take a break. I'll host for you just to keep it going until you're ready to come back and do your thing. And that's what I did. And I've worked a few hosting jobs, radio, Raghouse Radio happened to be YouTube, as well as podcasting for Chaotic Radio. And I'm about to endeavor on a new podcast with one of our mutual angels that we're lucky enough to know, and that would be Miss Nikki B.
Oh my goodness, yeah, she's wonderful.
Isn't she? I know.
Yes.
What a joy. She's just a human that you want to have in your life, you know, and that's what I try to surround myself with, Daniel. Really good people that bring me joy, because, you know, we have enough trauma and challenge in our everyday lives, all of us. Yes. Life is so messy and tricky. And so I've just made it a priority in my own life to celebrate the wins as much as I can, celebrate the good things that happen to us. No shame in celebrating and sharing wonderful things and being happy when the tribe around me shares what they're doing that's inspiring others. And I agree with you, Daniel. I feel like our natural gifts, we need to really, really focus on the fact that they are gifts. And that all of our we are in existence to be in service to the human race.
Yes.
And we are uniquely suited to share our gifts with the rest of the world. So as a musician, a speaker, an artist, I feel like it is my responsibility and for others to uplift each other. You know, there's enough of the, you know, the negative.
Yes.
Surrounding us, right? So we have a choice to focus and lift each other up, and that's what I'm going to do. And you're the kind of person that does that too. That's why I love you as well.
Thank you, Chrissy. I love you too. I'm telling you, you're a blessing. You are truly a blessing. Look, I want to ask you about this, because I know you have done a lot of things and you have inspired a lot of people. Let's talk about your dancing. Is it true that you used to be a former dancer for the Los Angeles Sparks?
Oh, you better believe it. I don't know how you knew that, but you bet. I love dancing. That's my number one thing. Remember when I told you my story earlier about being so mad at my mom because she made me take piano lessons, and I really wanted to be in dance lessons, but I had to beg for that. And you know, I've been dancing since I was very young, and I was lucky enough to get hired with Disneyland when I was still a teenager. And I made a ton of wonderful connections with choreographers and show directors. And that led me into a career dancing for a living while I was young. I got to do some music videos, you know, with artists that probably no one even knows today, but I worked with Kid and Play, both on their House Party movies as well as their videos. And I got to work with Buster Poindexter. So I said, like, you know, I'm old, but, you know, so this is like decades back. But I loved hip hop. I loved dancing. And I had an opportunity when I was younger. The LA Sparks has a dance team called the Old School Crew. It was for women that were 40 and over. And when I found out about that, I ran to the auditions. And luckily for me, I made it. And it was just so much fun. And one of my closest friends still to this day is the former director of the dance team.
Oh, man, that's cool.
It was
that's so cool. Fun.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Look, I want to talk to you about how Pulp Vixen got together. How did that happen?
Well, when you take a middle-aged crazy soccer mom who is looking at her life and saying, wow, I'm in the middle of the rat race. I have a ton of money and a big house, and my kids have so many presents on their birthdays and Christmas, they can't even get to them to open them. I was really jaded by the consumerism and just my, I wasn't fulfilled, you know. I had worked really hard to get things that I thought were important, you know, with the intention of taking good care of my family. So I worked really hard. I got up early. I left my house when it was dark. I got home when it was dark. My poor daughter was in daycare from sunup to sundown while I was working my tail off. And I wasn't fulfilled by it. So I just made my life look different. I, you know, like I said, I reduced my overhead so I could make choices about my career and what I wanted to do on the planet.
Yeah.
You know, which was spread love and spread joy with, you know, with music. It's a medium I've had all my life. So, I decided I was going to start an all-girl band. I didn't know female musician. I didn't even know how to play the drums. And to this day, I am the okayest drummer you'll ever meet, Daniel. But my trick is I surround myself by bad asses. Like, the women that are in my band are show-stopping, artist-level, wonderfully authentic human beings, and I rise to the occasion.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I want to put a pause right there because I've seen you play many of times. I'm going to tell my audience, I don't want to call you a liar, but she's not telling the truth. I'm going to say that. This girl can play the drums. She can sing. All right. She is multi-talented. Well, go ahead.
Well, I guess the point of it is this. I'm not the best. I don't set out to be. I try the best that I can be, you know. But I started the band because I wanted to, my soul was not filled. My bucket was not filled. And I just talked to everyone about what I wanted to do. I didn't care that I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't care that I had no experience, knew no female musicians. I just reached out to the people that I knew. And, you know, after time, people came to me, like-minded individuals that were into the same things that I was into. And things really changed for me when Roseanne answered, like, she heard from someone that I was looking for a female guitarist, and Roseanne dropped into my lap like a little angel from above. But let me tell you what, the universe really had my back on this one. And once Roseanne joined the band, even though it was a soccer mom band at that moment, and it was so beneath her that kept her coming back and sticking with us. But she helped me make this band what it is today. And it was technically a different band. I rebranded Pulp Vixen back in 2018 or 2019. So it's been 4 or 5 years now. The previous name of the band, you know, remember, I didn't know what I was doing. So I had some kitschy name that was really limiting in terms of what we could do and where we could work. And so I changed the front line of the band. I rebranded it, and I have the fabulous Becky Moon at the helm.
Yeah.
And no one on the planet is like Becky Moon. So with her at the front, and then Megan and Roseanne and myself as the rhythm section, we have Sandy Chow, who is like ridiculous jazz musician. Like, she, I don't know why she's not on tour. I don't know why any of these women aren't on tour, but I'm thankful they're not.
You're right.
That means I get them.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I just went ahead without fear. I didn't care if I wasn't good. I didn't care if I didn't know what I was doing. I had a business degree. I'm pretty comfortable with marketing. And I just use basic business principles along with my joy and my, you know, I was just focused on doing this. This is what I wanted to do. And I just did it. And I learned as I went. And I hope that inspires someone to do what they want to do, because regret is the only thing that will haunt you at the end of your life, I believe.
I believe that's so true. And mm-hmm. I believe that's so true. And you said something that was pretty powerful about, you know, not being good enough and things of that nature. My cousin, Ronnie Kaufman, he's the first original drummer for the Gap Band.
Ooh!
He told me this. He said to me, I'll never forget this. He says, if you practice your craft, be the best you can be, learn the songs, don't worry about all the other fluff,
mm-hmm. you
always work. That helped me out so much, because there are times where, you know, of course, we know that in life, there's always going to be somebody better.
Of course.
Somebody that doesn't play as well. And, you know, you can compare yourself to the person who doesn't play as well to make yourself feel good. But that's not success. Success is taping yourself this year and then listening to yourself 6-7 months from now to see if you improved.
That's right.
That's success.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, so what you said was powerful, and that's what I love about you, because you're always honest when I talk to you. You know? Sometimes it hurts.
That's one thing you'll get with me. I'm Italian. I have a big mouth. Yeah. I tell it like it is. And, you know, the girls will laugh. They'll be like, oh, yeah, you want to know what she thinks? That will be no problem.
Yeah. And I love that about you. Let me ask you this, though, because, I mean, I know there's lots of music out there, and there's a lot of music that have stayed with us for years. My question to you is, what determines a good song?
Well, I'm not a bougie jazz musician. I'm not into, you know, things that are complex. I think a good song is a song that makes you feel good inside. Mm. You know, something that resonates with you, something that you can easily sing or hum along to, you know? It's not about complexity or chops or skill level when it comes to a song and music. You know, music connects all of us. It doesn't matter what language, what neighborhood, what color, what size, what gender. Music literally connects the world. And that, to me, the way you feel and the way you're able to connect with other people, that's the power in music. That's what makes it good.
Yeah, okay, all right. Can you name maybe 3 people, maybe even 5 people that inspired you on drums?
Oh, well, Karen Carpenter, Sheila E., Gene Shock, you know, any female drummers, you know, before or now, I'm just in awe of. I can stare at them I could watch them for days. You know, women that are out there doing it, especially before it was acceptable. That gets to me the most, you know, the early adopters.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Because that's courage as well as talent, as well as, you know, work ethic. You know, like they believe in themselves and what they want to do enough that they'll go against the grain. You know, yeah. That's hard to do for many people.
You know, speaking of that, tell my audience about your practice habits. What do you normally do to warm up, or how long do you practice, or what do you study?
Well, I am, we try to work on new stuff constantly. So I'm usually charting. You know, for me, the biggest thing is charting my songs. Like you said earlier, no songs.
Yes.
Sometimes when I don't know my songs and it happens, you know, it just throws everyone off. You know, it's not just letting me down. It's letting the entire team down.
Right.
If you will. So me knowing my song structure is of the utmost importance. And there are, you know, so I'm playing, all I do is music. So I'm teaching all week and then I'm gigging all weekend. So yeah. 7 days a week, it's all about music. And so I'm often at the piano, at the drums, working on vocals, creating vocal stacks so we can arrange harmonies. You know, so I would say that I'm always practicing and working on stuff. However, the fact that I'm working on so many things often is a problem because I won't deep dive into something. So that's actually one of the challenges I have in my practice schedule. Is the focus to dig deeper, get a little more detail oriented to really help songs pop. So I know what I need to do, and sometimes I fall a little short. And so that's something that I'm always working on and is a challenge for me. If you have any ideas, I would love input.
Yeah.
Else who has that same challenge.
You know, everybody have a different approach, and I've watched this guy on YouTube, and he helped me out with something. He said, if you practice on just the small things, and really get that down. And I believe his quote was this. He says, amateurs practice till they get it right. Professionals practice till they can't get it wrong.
Boy.
So, you know, so if I, if I'm just learning just one different scale or just something just for a soul, I'm usually just trying to do that same little 5-scale run in every key.
You know?
So yeah. Instead of me just trying to just dive in and just try to master everything in one night, you know, I find something that just clicks with me, and then, you know, I practice that for a couple hours, then take a little lunch or whatever, and then I get back to it, you know, and go back over that. And then when I play one of our songs that might be on the set list, I try to incorporate that run, you know, to see if that works, you know.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
But like I said, everybody has something different, you know?
That to me is like the most valuable information, you know, to share. And that's why, you know, you had said something earlier, when musicians start to compare themselves to others or hate on each other or be jealous, that's such a waste of energy, because musicians are my lifeline, other musicians, you know, they're my mentors, they're my feedback loop, they're my, you know, connection to other gigs and to other people that I may bring into my band, you know, so I'm so on the same page as you with that.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I'm telling you, that advice that Ronnie gave me, it sticks with me, because the bottom line is, as much as I love Herbie Hancock and different people such as him, those great talents, The bottom line is, if you can learn your material, you know, you can be honest with people. Hey, I'm not Herbie, you know, or a, you know, God rest his soul, George Duke. But hey, I've got these core structures down well enough to get you through this show, you know. So I always look at life like that. And like you said, to compare people, you know, that's, it is the negative energy.
Yes.
Now I want to ask you this, and because I don't want to tie you up all day.
Sure.
I want to ask you this. How do you approach getting shows? Because I get that question a lot. How do you go about approach getting shows? Do you make certain videos? What type of promo kit do you have, or how do you go about doing that?
Sure. Well, I began getting shows, you know, it in any type of sale function, you always begin with your inner circle. So you start by getting shows, like if you're a beginning band or a beginning musician, you reach out to your inner circle, you know, your friends, your family. Do you have any opportunities? Do you know of anyone who owns a venue? Do you know of anyone who's having a party? So that's what I will start with. And when it gets down to it, I'll, you know, I will utilize agents, booking agencies. I will subscribe to online booking agencies. I will reach out to venues myself. In all cases, you will need video, audio, and some basic descriptions, because, you know, that's your business. That's your resume as a visual artist. They want to see and hear what you're doing. And so I have high quality video and audio on our website. I would suggest that any professional band that hopes to make a living from this will own all of their own, all of their data, which means like Facebook, any social media, third-party platforms, you don't own anything that's on there. Although in today's society, Instagram is basically your business card, and potential customers will come to your Instagram and see what you have going, see what kind of following you have, see what kind of engagement you have. Ultimately, you want to own all of your media. And the only way to do that is if you reserve your own website, your own domain that you own, your, you know, a name that you have 100% control over. You know, if Facebook goes bankrupt tomorrow and everything's gone, how many people will be out of luck, right?
Right.
You know, and they'll complain about, you know, how Facebook screwed them, and, you know, all the while they've been using free marketing platform, but they really, they've just been, you know, renting space. They don't own anything. So I'd say those are the two things. Ask for help from your group around you. Have a solid resume, you know, business card. So when the opportunity presents itself for someone that's looking for a band, you are ready. No baloney with, oh, I don't have a proper video, or I didn't get to that. I know I really need to do that. All that tells me is that you're not serious about your craft, right? Wow. There's plenty of people out there that are very serious about their craft. They might not be as good as your band. They might not, but it doesn't matter. They're ready for the opportunity, okay? So anyone could follow those basic things and build a business. It all comes down to basic business modeling.
Wow, that's you know, that's some well great information that my audience need to hear. As a matter of fact, you mentioned getting your own website.
Yep.
That is such a big plus.
Yep.
Chrissy, I don't want to tie you up. I held you for about 30 minutes already. I really want to thank you for just taking time out to do this. I would ask you, is there any more advice you can give to my audience? If you want to say something else, that's fine. I mean, we got a few more minutes.
Sure, sure. I just wanted to say that, you know, being authentic is the key in whatever you do, whether you're songwriting, whether you're in a cover band, a hired gun in an original band. Like, whatever you're doing, move forward with authenticity, that intention, because people can see it. People know when they're dealing with a diva or someone that's full of themselves. People know when your intention is to, you know, be of service to those around you. And don't let fear stop you from what you want to do, because you uniquely have something to give to the world around you that no one else does. You know, so value yourself enough to make it happen. Don't let fear stop you. You know, that's the biggest for me. And I do offer like coaching for bands, whether they're new bands that are trying to form, older bands that are kind of stuck in a rut, either with booking or with their electronic press kit, or, you know, whether it's stage presence, what they're wearing, how their set flows, how to deal with equipment, like all of these things. I offer coaching in all of that. So if there's any one of your listeners that needs help, I am happy to share the information that I have learned over the years.
Okay, where can they reach you?
They can hit me up at pulpvixenband.com, send me a message, and I'll get back to them immediately. Those notifications go right to my cell phone.
Chrissy, thank you so, so much. I really appreciate you. And look, we're going to have to do a part two on this one, okay?
Oh, God. Nah. Shut.
Did I lose you, Chrissy? All right. Chrissy, thanks again so much. We'll do a part two on this in the future. Stay sweet, stay humble as you are. And I will talk with you no later.